My job is to play.
Hey, everybody, it's Erin. Welcome back to My Job is to Play. Today, we have Erin Wrinkle Siegel on the show. Erin is a costume designer who specializes in commercials, television, live shows, game shows, print, and film. In this discussion, we get into the nitty-gritty of what it takes to be a costume designer on a film set, the long hours, the sharp eye for detail you have, and how to make sure fake blood looks its best. This job isn't just about dressing people, people. I loved getting this inside look at this very cool creative profession, and I hope you do too. Here she is, Erin Wrinkle Siegel. Hello, Erin.
Hi.
You're my first fellow Erin that I've gotten the chance to interview. I'm very excited about that.
It's so cool. I love it. It's a great name.
It's a great name. And just because you're my first Erin I've interviewed, I need to know, did you grow up with a lot of Erins? Was it a popular name in your where you grew up?
There were two other Erins with me that I can think of, but that was it. And I have not met another Erin since I moved to LA.
Wow.
That's a girl.
Right, right. There's that whole, well, he's Erin and he's A-A-R-O-N.
Yeah.
You say your name. How do you say your name?
Erin.
You say Erin. Okay. I say Erin. This is stimulating. I know everyone that's listening. They're like thrilling. This is what I tuned in for.
They're probably like, oh, I didn't know it was pronounced like that. I get Karen so much and I just go with it. I mean, people can't understand what I'm saying. They either think I'm saying Anne or Karen. It's funny.
Yeah. It's just like regionalisms, right? I'm an audiobook narrator, so I know all about, we all say things a little bit differently. It depends on where we were born and raised and blah, blah, blah. But I had no Erins around me when I was a very young person. And then I went to high school. There was one other. But then now in the audiobook industry, I'm one of like, I think 5 or 6 Erins that narrate.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it's very strange. Yeah. But anyway, here we are. You are a gorgeous, beautiful, wonderful costume designer. And I know nothing about how you do what you do. And I'm getting an hour to find out. So
yay.
Let's do this. All right. First of all, what is a costume designer? I think a lot of times when people hear costume designers, they think fashion designer, they think all kinds of stuff. What do you do as a costume designer?
Okay, this is such a loaded question because it's actually so much deeper than I think even sometimes I realize. Like, I'll tell someone something and they're like, oh, wow, I never thought about that. I'm like, yeah, I didn't either. Thank goodness I've been doing that this whole time, you know?
Yeah.
Basically, there's 3 parts of the job. There's prep, there's shooting it, and then there's wrapping it, which is kind of like a lot of information to take in. But like really quickly to summarize it all up, this is the basic breakdown of it. You read the script and you talk to the director and the director's like, okay, so what are you thinking? And kind of in that moment, you're just spitting out all these ideas, you know, of like, okay, this is who I see the person as. It would be the same as if you're reading a book and you are reading these characters and you're like picturing what that person looks like in your head. And then when you see it on film, you're like, that's not what I was picturing at all, you know, but that's like the main part at the beginning. And then we shoot it. So then we're on set and we're making sure all the continuity's right and how everyone looks. And then the wrap, you're basically an accountant. So there's so much to dive into. Those are just like 3 really quick breakdowns of the job.
Okay. So you work on TV shows. You've seem to have done a hell of a lot of commercial shoots as well. Okay. For the commercials, Apple, Best Buy, TD Bank, Home Goods, Mercedes, AT&T, Verizon, PlayStation, Wendy's. It goes on and on and on and on and on. Working as a costume designer for something like a commercial shoot, how different is that than working on a TV show?
So a commercial shoot is awesome. And I love those because everyone does everything all at once. And it's like packed into this like week long adventure with a ton of people. And you're just immersed in it for that like 1 to 3 weeks or however long it is.
Yeah.
Whereas in, you know, a TV show or film, you're with those people for months. But with the commercial, you shop everything really quickly and then you return it all. Stuff that you've worn, you keep. I want to preface
that.
I'm not returning things that we did.
You're like, the actor sweated all over this, gave a glorious performance, and then I sent it back.
Exactly. So also in a commercial, there's not, sometimes there is designing, but a lot of times the commercial is like styling stuff together.
Yeah.
And styling the clothes. You want to make the character relatable. So
yeah,
you're going to pull them in easily. In a TV show, you're completely creating a character. You're completely creating who that person is. And with a commercial, you're kind of just putting looks together to make people want to buy that product.
Right, right. So like with commercials, you're part of the team that's trying to get a product sold. And when you're working on TV, you're trying to bring forth the energy of each individual character. You're trying to storytell alongside with the screenwriter and the director.
Yes.
And the actors.
Yes. And in this last movie I just did that just premiered on Tubi. So
What's it called?
Called Final Heist.
Okay. Tell us about it.
For example, on that one, I got the script. I read the whole thing. And then at the end, I was like, oh my gosh, this, I know exactly the perfect outfit that we have to have. I was like, it has to be this two-piece pink tracksuit. It has to be this. So it was kind of funny because I don't think that they saw that as something at the beginning. And then I was like, no, it's going to be great. You have no idea. They're like, well, as long as you have money, you can do it. You can do it. Okay, well, fine. I'll do it. So I have this idea in my head. And of course, you're not just going to walk into somewhere and find that. So right. I ordered a crap ton of stuff on Macy's.com, like all these pink jumpsuits. I'm not happy with any of them. It has to have this pink stripe down the side. So I'm driving after like a 12-hour day of fittings to Joanne's to find this thing, to then convince the seamstress to do it, who I love her, Rita. She was like, this isn't going to work. You know, that's also another part of my job. We're making this costume. She's like, I don't think it's going to work. I'm like, let me show you. So here I am trying it on. I'm like showing her, you know, like, okay, if we just merge this together, it's going to be fine. She's like, oh, okay, I'll go work on it right now. So that's an exciting part because there's a lot of adrenaline pumping because you're like, I need this outfit by tomorrow, you know? And there's definitely some sort of like excitement I get from that, knowing that there's a rush, you know? That's also from my commercial background. So I started as a wardrobe PA on commercials.
Yeah.
And have like grown all the way up to what I do now. So I've seen every single position. So I thrive in this environment, which I think makes me good at my job now, because when I was on commercials, you had to do every single job. Everyone shopped. Everyone was a seamstress. Everyone returns. Everyone, you know, is there on set because there's not that many crew members. Mm. So you have to do it all. And I think that was like something I'm really glad that I'm so glad I started with commercials.
Right.
That's not how most people start out. Most people want to be a PA in TV or film and then get into the union. But I'm so grateful for my journey. It taught me so much.
Yeah. So how did the whole journey to becoming a costume designer start?
2 weeks after graduation, I moved to LA. I had $842. I'm totally that story now that you hear. I just got in my car. I didn't really think about it. I drove away to this soundtrack that my parents made for me. They made me a CD. And it was like, the song I drove away to was Eye of the Tiger. So I can't even listen to that song.
Yes.
It makes me cry. So dramatic, right? So I ended up getting a job at the W. I started working overnight at the hotel. And during the day, I would follow these yellow signs around. And if you don't know what the yellow signs are, basically they're where you go to meet up on set. So driving around, you see a yellow sign, that's where crew parking is, you know, and that's where all the trailers are going to be. And it kind of is our direction to get to set. So I would go there, like I'd worked all night, would go there and I would tell them I work for free. Sometimes they would be like, yeah, we need help. That's great. And most of the time they'd be like, get off of our set, you crazy person.
Wow. This is impressive that you had that kind of, I think my mom would probably use this word, chutzpah, like, to just show up. And I don't know that I had that when I was that age. Like, I remember, because I was an actor, and I remember showing up to an audition sometimes and being too nervous and leaving. And, you know, I got over that to a certain extent. But at 23 years old, That takes a lot of balls. I like that.
Yeah. But I think it was this whole thing of like, I wasn't even thinking anything through because I had like no plan. I was like, kind of like living every, I was kind of like shooting my shot a little bit. Well, at the time I remember thinking, if it doesn't work out, the worst case scenario is I have to move back home, which was already right. something that I was sad about leaving. So I was like, okay, yeah. not even that bad of an option, but like, it kind of was because I was like, I know I'm meant to do this. I have to stay here. It was like this driving force.
Okay. So when you say meant to do this, you said you had no plan, but was the dream, the plan, the dream to be a costume designer, was that already planted for you?
You know, it's so funny. So I came from an acting and commercial print world in Dallas. So
okay.
That's how I learned about this industry we all love, you know. I loved acting and I loved commercial print, but I always, in the back of my mind, I was like, but I want to be here more often. I want to come on set and be here in the creative process on the other side of things. So I started kind of like looking at the different jobs every time I go to set, and I fell in love with script supervising. I was like, that's what I'm going to be. So when I moved to LA, I kind of had thought in my head that I was going to be a script supervisor. I loved it. I thought I wanted to do all the continuity. I thought it was so cool how this person would be like, okay, you have this much time and you need to fit everything into this moment, and you would take notes from the director. And I thought that was just so awesome. And you got a cool chair and you sat next to the director. I was like, that is for me, you know?
Yeah.
So now we'll merge with my story of how I got here, because it kind of all meets up here. This is going in a good direction. So I take a little bit of a break from trying to look for work, because I'm kind of just killing myself. You know, I'm working all night. I'm trying in the day. I'm getting a lot of rejection. I'm working some, but I have like no friends. My mom really guided me through this. She said, why don't you just take a break? Why don't you make some friends? And after Christmas time, you know, start looking again. You'll get a good idea. So I still had an agent in Texas at this time. And I was able to find a commercial to work on. And I got booked right after the new year for a Super Bowl commercial.
Oh.
And on that shoot, I spent the whole time networking. I was like, I will PA. I want to do this. Like, just get me in. And on the last day, it was a 3-day shoot. This guy, he was like, are you the girl that's been looking for work?
That's me.
I'm ready. Finally, you know? And he was like, have you ever wardrobe PA'd? And of course, as you do in LA, I lied. I'm like, yeah, I have. I'm so good at it. And he's like, awesome. At this moment, I'm working for her. I'm driving her truck. She's going to need help. I'm going to give her your number. Sounded good to me. So I get this call from this lady who I ended up working with her for several months. And even, I think, almost a year. And she hired me to be her PA. She had no idea. I'd never done it before. She basically, it was perfect because she had a lot of ego. So on the first day I worked for her, which was like the next day, okay, she says to me, okay, so you're going to do this, this, and this. You're going to tag all the clothes. You're going to get them set up for the morning. And then we're going to do the fitting. And I was like, I know how other people like it, but how do you like it?
Mm-hmm. You know? Smart.
Yeah. And she loved it. She showed me how to do everything.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sensing a theme in your stories so far. You're just like, I can figure this out. I just need to get there first.
Yeah.
And then I'll figure it out. I need to get to LA. I'll figure out how to get a job. I need to get on set. I'll figure out how to do what they're asking me to do. You're sly.
Yeah.
You're very sly.
Yeah. And I just kept on pushing and trudging on. And then one day I was walking to the W. And I just quit.
Oh, boy.
Which is the first thing I've ever quit probably in my life. Like, I'm very determined, but I was like, I cannot keep working all day and working all night.
No.
I'm going to fall over dead, you know? And
the
woman that I started with, she had a big run of Wendy's jobs, like you were talking about earlier. And she was like, if you'll come and work for me, you know, you should quit your job. So I did. And wow. That's how I got into the world of costumes.
This is amazing. You said earlier that there's so many kind of layers to the job that even you hadn't considered. I was doing a little research on what it takes to become a costume designer, and I found this quote that I want to see if it resonates with you. A costume designer must tap into their inner psychologist, sociologist, researcher, historian, and actor. Juggling these roles helps them to design, create, compile, and fit the most appropriate outfits and accessories to each character. The thing that I was so struck with is that you must tap into your inner psychologist, sociologist, researcher, historian, and actor.
Okay.
Do you find that to be true?
Yes, I do. Another thing I hadn't really considered of how to put into words, you know, of like part of my job, but you get an actor or an actress and you know, you're with these people for a certain amount of time. You have to learn how to communicate with them and read them as a person because they have feelings too. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. It's not always just about the interaction with the clothes. That's a huge part, obviously, the clothing, everything. But another thing is that they're a human being that, you know, when we do the fitting, we're bonding in that moment. And I'm listening to what they're saying because at the end of the day, I want them to wear what clothes, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I want to hear what they have to say. Anytime I talk to someone before the fitting over the phone, I'm connecting with that person on some level to bring them in so that they feel safe and that they trust me to dress them in clothing. You know,
yeah.
When you're on screen, you want to love how you look. And
yes,
you know, and so that is a big deal and a big part. You have to know how to communicate with people and listen, but also understand that there might be, maybe they don't want to wear something that's sleeveless, or maybe they don't want to wear, maybe there's something that I'm like, you look great, you know, but also understanding that maybe that they don't feel comfortable with that, you know?
Well, yeah. And like living in a body is a very personal and sometimes emotional experience.
Yes.
And so if you have these actors, they want to do the best job possible. They want to serve the show. They want to look and feel good. And you have no idea the insecurities that might already live inside them from having been in a body for however many decades and having people say stuff to you about your body and have feelings about your body, you know? And yes. Then they come to you and they bring all that with them, I imagine.
Yes. I mean,
it's a lot.
About you going to a place to, you know, try on clothes. And then imagine someone that you don't know standing in the dressing room with you, looking at every part of
uh-huh.
you, being like, okay, this, but not even thinking about what they're thinking about. I'm thinking about, how is that going to move on camera? Is that going to be annoying for me to fix a bunch of times?
Right.
Like, what jewelry are we putting with this? You know, like, am I going to need doubles for this? There's so many things to think of that, you know, you're considering with that. As for historian, that's so true. I just did a movie that was based in the 90s. And, you know, you're doing tons of research. You're looking at books. That's something that I like to do. I'm not super tech savvy on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see books and I like to look at them. And from that, I kind of, I look a lot at cuts because I think, especially with the 90s are back right now. So I shopped a lot of that in store, funnily enough.
Mm.
But you need to make yourself very aware of each decade, and everything's intentional. When you're watching any movie or show, I challenge you to look at the costumes because everything is intentional, whether or not you realize it or not. Even if it's for something small, like this actress moves her, you know, sleeves up a lot, and we don't want to do that. So you put her in a short sleeve, even if it's just that. Someone was thinking about that outfit so intentionally. I mean, there was stuff I showed my husband. He went to the premiere with me for the movie. And I said, oh, do you see right there? They're all in collars because they're the same person, really, you know? And he's like, wow, that's so deep. It's like, I'm sure no one noticed that, but, you know, I know.
Right. But that's the stuff.
So,
yes. That's the detail that means so much. And you cut, I don't know. And like, should he have noticed that? Maybe not. Right. But it's the layers that make it so cool. People feel that. People feel that intention that you put into it. They feel it on some level.
I really take pride in each character that I'm putting together. I think it's so important. You know, it's just, I would want someone to do that for me. If I sat there and I wrote this film or I was directing it, I would want someone like myself to care about every little detail, you know? And that's the part.
And there's so many people involved, right? What I'm curious about when you start a project, I was thinking like you're having to design for each actor. So you have to know the story and where it's heading. You need to understand that character. And yet there's a world of the show as well, right? There's a tone. There's, is there a color palette? Like, are there some shows like, no, orange would never show up in the show. Never. Is there stuff like that that you just, is it a feel thing? Does the director tell you, this is our palette, this is our, or is it all you pulling it from what you're reading?
There are some times where there are definitely color palettes, especially going back to commercials a little bit. If you're doing a Netflix commercial, you're not using green. You're not even going to even try to put someone in green because that's Hulu.
Oh my gosh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're doing an AT&T commercial, you're not putting anybody in red or pink.
Because that's Verizon.
Or yellow. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So that's something. For a film, I loved the last one, the last two I worked on, because as a costume designer, they really let me go a little bit and let me show them what I could do. They let me bring some stuff to the table. I made a great mood board and I chose my own color palettes for that. And I tried to keep them all in that same color. I think that also makes it easier to shop. So my assistant came with me and it was kind of a little bit easier to explain, you know, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I want. On top of all the other little crazy things, like I don't like, I think button down collars are fine. You know, there's some people that don't like that. I always tell someone if they tell me they're a 34, I buy a 36.
These are just like
I follow, you know? So on top of all that, I'm telling an assistant, then I'm also like, okay, now we're going to do all these colors. And then this is kind of what I'm thinking. And by pulling a bunch of pictures and kind of having a book, it makes it a lot easier to, when you're out in the world, to shop it, because on top of everything else you do that's crazy in your job, you're holding a bunch of bags. You're shopping with here a bunch of tourists or a bunch of people that also want to go shopping. And the mall's like a fun place to like go. But when you put all your emotion in it and you're looking for something so specific, it gets challenging, you know? And I've been on jobs where I've been the shopper and you're like trying to get all this stuff that the designer wants you to get. And you're just hoping you get the right stuff, you know, and you're out in it and you're fighting through traffic. And another thing people don't realize is that you work like 12-hour days. Like that's like the normal time frame. If I have a 10-hour day, I'm like, wow, 10 hours. What am I going to do with the rest of the day?
Well, I did want to ask you, there's probably not an answer to this, but what's a typical day for you? Because you could be on set, you could be researching, you could be shopping, right?
Yes, there are so many. That's something I love about my job is that no day is exactly the same. I mean, there's, you know, there's like normal phases that we always follow every single job. But I could be researching, like you said, I could be looking up stuff. I could have a day of just online ordering because I'm like, I know exactly what I want. And I'm going to try to get it in time. That's usually how I'll start a project is like research, responding to emails, figuring out kind of my plan of attack and ordering online. And then you have the day of shopping and then you're getting ready for the fitting. So you're hanging up all the clothes, you're organizing all of them, you're putting them where, you know, all the accessories, the shoes, the purses, the bags, then you're loading it all into a truck. Then you're loading it off of a truck to do the shoot. Then you're shooting it. And during shooting, stuff comes up and they add stuff or, you know, you need something else. Or if you're in a movie or a film, you're getting ready for the next day. And on top of all that, in between all of that, that's going on is continuity, and you're making sure that you know exactly the right items to put on someone for that day and know what day is supposed to happen.
For people that aren't familiar with like film set speak, when you say continuity, what are you talking about?
So continuity, I'll give you a couple of examples. Continuity would be like, we don't film in order. So you have someone in an outfit, that scene. And then say you say that's scene one, and then you shoot scene 60, and that's a different outfit because that's a different day. And then say you go back to scene two. Everything that they were wearing in scene one, they need to be wearing exactly the same. But a lot of times pass between them. So you got to make sure their earrings are in right. They have rings on their fingers. They need to be on the same fingers. If you rolled up the sleeve, say four times, you need to roll them up four times again. And all this is kept in a book. So taking great notes is so important. So another example of continuity would be, say you buy doubles of something and they're plaids. You need to go to the store and you have to make sure that the plaids match up because you got to make sure that the plaids like look similar.
Right.
Because that would be a break in continuity if like you turn the camera around and then say you spill something on himself and then
he's spilled on a little navy splotch before, but then with the other outfit now it's a slightly red splotch. Yeah, that's wow.
Yeah. And also blood. Blood is a huge continuity
issue. Tell us about blood.
Blood has to go on the last movie. You know, it has to go in the exact same spot. So, and there's levels of it. And you're not always shooting in the levels of the blood. So you get shot. You bleed a little bit. Then you're running to get away from everyone. So then you're bleeding a lot. Then you're laying down because you're like wounded really bad. And I mean, and it's also exciting to have more blood. So like you have a lot more blood then, you know? So, but say you shoot the last scene first where there's a lot of blood and then you kind of got to tone it down, but you got to remember exactly where you put it the first time.
Wow.
All by making sure that everyone else that's with her looks good and doesn't get blood on them because they can't have blood on them.
Well, I mean, it's so great that you're on these sets now that have big budgets and can hire everyone to do exactly what they're supposed to do. Because I remember when I was first starting out as an actor and I would do some short films and stuff and everyone was in charge of way too much, including the actors, because you had to be like, okay, I had the fork in my left hand. I took a bite of the eggs and then I put it down here. Oh, the cup. And then, oh God, but now the water in my cup is too low. Like, yeah, it drove me bananas because I'm like, I'm a theater girl. I can't handle all this. This is not it. Yeah.
No, honestly, I love people like you because I was actually telling someone the other day, there are people that just wear the clothes so well. And like, I kind of, because I've been doing it for a while, I kind of recognize who's going to be like that. So in my head, I'm already prioritizing other people. So I'm like, okay. So I had this one guy on the movie. I'll tell you his name. His name was, he played Carl on the movie that I just did. He was like perfect. He never like nothing moved from him. Like his sleeves were perfect always. Like I would look at him and I'd be like, there's nothing I can do that's better than what you're already doing. So like I kind of at a certain point, I just kind of stopped like judging him is what we call
zhuzhing.
It. Because
funny.
And a lot of people are like that. There's a lot of actors out there that I mean, they're meant to do acting.
Yeah.
That's what they do, you know? So I mean, they're just perfect already. Yeah. So, but there are some that move around a lot or get nervous, or I've seen actors change rings from hand to hand in the middle of takes. I'm like, you know, like,
wow.
So that's kind of, I mean, that's fun about set is that you have to be really, you know, paying attention to every little detail.
Yeah. You know, I was, as I was looking up all this great stuff that you've done, I saw that you've worked on a bunch of award shows like CMT Music Awards, E! People's Choice Awards, even the Oscars you worked at one point. Like, what was your task on those shows?
So on the Oscars, I was a PA. I was so cute. I worked for an incredible costume designer, and I learned a lot from that show. That was one of the coolest experiences of my life. I mean, there's a lot more to that story, but you know, it was such a learning experience for me. And then on the award shows, I did it with one of my friends at the time. And it was just so awesome. Like, my little claim to fame on this, I guess, is I designed this costume for Lady Gaga's dog.
Oh, hey now?
Yeah. It was like so fun. It was trending on Twitter. I was like, wow.
Amazing.
It's in this Game of Thrones little dragon outfit.
Oh my gosh. So cool. I'm going to have to look that up. That's exciting. Yeah. Lady Gaga, yeah, she makes so a cute splash. I mean, I remember the year with the meat dress. My goodness. Remember the meat dress?
Yeah. So, right. What was my main? I see what you're asking now. See, I'm so not thinking of all this stuff. Okay. So during these award shows, there's all these dancers and there's presenters and, you know, that kind of vibe. That was who we were dressing, getting all the presenters ready, getting all of the dancers. I think one year we did the Chainsmokers dancers, or we did several people. Awesome. That was like a wild time. I mean, award shows are full of energy and they're live.
Right.
Like, something that stands out to me during a live show was one of the dancers. He ripped his pants like literally 30 seconds before they're about to call him on.
Yikes.
And everyone was in white. It's like, where are you going to find another white thing ever? And he is like, actually, I have white jeans in my bag. And I was like, how convenient. Like, why don't you go get those, or I'll go get them? I'm like running through the halls of the forum to go grab them. And in my head, I'm like, am I okay with this? Like, this is a jean. We're doing like all like silk and everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is going to look so terrible. Of course you can't even really see it. I mean, really at the end of the day, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But that was all we had. But man, that intensity, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's part of the job. You know, that's part of the excitement. That's why we do what we do, is because everything is such high intensity. And then when you shoot it, you kind of just, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there is always such like time crunches backstage. Like, I remember my mom and I went to see a Broadway musical a couple months ago, and it was the Neil Diamond musical. And she leaned over to me and she's like, how did he get changed that fast? And she was just like mystified. I'm like, well, this is a fun theatrical thing. He went back there. There was like five people waiting with all the things, and they put it all on him. He just stood there and they made it happen for him. And she's like, oh, like, yeah, there's a whole team of people making magic happen behind the scenes at these things.
And totally. So. And it's like so crazy to think about. But yeah, I got at the beginning when you asked me like that really hard question, you know, which sounds so simple. I didn't even know how to answer, because there's so many things that go into this job.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so special. That's why I would choose this 1,000 times over. I also did script supervise for one time. I script supervised on The Love of Ray J. And I'll tell you this, it's not for me. Never again. I'm glad that I didn't try to pursue that dream anymore. I met a random girl at Saddle Ranch, and she was like leaving to go out of town for a few days. And she was like, do you want to script supervise for me? That's what I do. I'm like, yeah. And it wasn't for me, you know.
Sometimes that's important to know what you don't want, right? Sift through that stuff, put it in the past, and then
keep it back there and move on to what you're good at.
When I was acting and in musical theater, you know, you're auditioning all the time. You're singing, you're dancing, all the stuff. And then friends would be like, you want to go to karaoke? And I was always like, not really, because then you go to karaoke and then it feels like everyone's auditioning for each other. And I feel like karaoke is fun when people are kind of bad or they don't care. And when you care too much, I get nervous and I'm just like, I feel weird. So this is my long-winded way of asking, do you enjoy Halloween? Do you enjoy dressing up? Or is it just another like day on the job where you're like, I can do without this?
Sometimes I take it way too seriously, but I do love Halloween. I actually make a Chipotle burrito costume every year for myself.
What?
Yeah, I love Chipotle. It's like this crazy, weird obsession. And I like started with my friend probably 15 years ago. And I just like, we love Chipotle. We always go together. And I was like, okay, Yvette, I'm going to do something really crazy where I'm going to make us an outfit out of foil. Because back in the day, you used to get a $3 burrito if you wore foil.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, I'm going to make these. And not only are, and we're not just going to wear it like on our finger. No, no, no. We're not going to be like the other losers. We're going to make a full-blown two-piece outfit. And I made us like a
Wait.
Skirt. Yes.
Are you telling me this is like a Halloween thing, or any day I could walk in with foil on my body and get a...
I wish it was every day. No, it's on Halloween.
And if
you
have
to foil, go on Halloween.
Wow. All right. Is this a worldwide... Yeah. Well, I guess Chipotle's aren't everywhere in the world. Is this like a nationwide Chipotle thing?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. I definitely take it too seriously sometimes. But then other times... I'm kind of like, a big thing that happens is weddings.
Oh.
A lot of people always say to me, oh yeah, I want, now my sister-in-law is getting married and I know that she really means it, that she does want me to help her. And I cannot wait for her to marry my brother. So this is not about you, Megan. So do not think. I've had a couple of people that have got married and they have asked me for my opinion on clothing. And I kind of have to say, do you want me to agree with you or do you want me to be honest?
Oh, shit.
And then I'm still not honest because I know that they're not telling me the truth.
Yeah. No.
So I just, that part is hard though, because I'll be like, what do you think? Which dress, what should I do? I want to get a custom suit made or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, I'll help you. And then.
Of course.
That part's stressful to me. And then on the day, I always bring my kit. And usually, I don't think I've ever been to a wedding where I didn't need it to like fix something. Like one of our friends, her dress belt came off full of beads.
Uh-oh.
Like right before the wedding. And I sewed it all on. I was just mortified. When she got up, when they like held her up and she did her twist at her, on her first dance, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Like that gives me stress. So weddings are a big thing that people, I'm sure it's like that for hairstylists too. You know,
yeah.
Like everyone's like, oh, you know, it's good to know someone, you know, like that for your wedding, you know?
Yeah, I'm so glad you just brought up hairstylists because I heard, I don't know if I should say this. It's not exactly a quote, but someone said, you want the hairstylist that was too busy to do her own hair. You don't want the one that looks perfect all the time. You want the one that's so busy with so many great clients that her hair kind of looks like shit. She's going to do the best job on you. So my question to you is, it's a weird way to preface it. Do you feel pressure as a costume designer to always look great, to always be wearing great clothes? Or is it, could you show up on set in like sweats and people are like, yes, respect. What is that like?
I know some people that dress up and in fact, I've like walked in on someone talking crap about me saying, yeah, like we're going to let Erin go shopping. Like she wears like skinny jeans and her little shirt tucked in. Cause that's my uniform for when I'm working.
And she looks adorable.
And I look so cute, you know? I do not dress up to go to work. I wear like a little uniform for sure. But on the weekends and whenever there's like an event, especially one that's costume related, like the premiere I just went to, I did feel pressure. I was like,
yeah.
I gotta bring the heat. I cannot look like an idiot coming in.
Yeah.
But I do not dress in high fashion. I don't have like all of the trends. Like my friend Michelle, she's so interesting with how she dresses. That's not my style. I definitely have like my own little thing that I do, but I don't dress cool. I dress like I'm here to work. Like because I'm going to be on my hands and knees at least once.
Right.
I'm going to be running at least twice. I'm going to be putting blood on people. I don't want to tear up my clothes. I like my clothes. You know, I want to tear up something, you know, that isn't that exciting. You know, I also need pockets. I carry like scissors around in my back pocket, which is like so bad. Yeah, I'm always on the go. I think anyone would agree with this. I move like very fast. Like, so I'm always moving. So yeah, I definitely don't dress excitingly. Plus a big thing is that I don't want anyone to look at me and be like, oh yeah, let's dress her like you.
Yeah.
You know, that might not look good. I don't want to give anyone any ideas, you know, like, I want to come up with the idea. I don't want someone to be like, oh yeah, I like this, you know, but if I'm just wearing like a blank canvas, they can pay attention more to like what I'm, who I'm dressing.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah. I also saw that this is just like the preteen girl in me, that you worked on JCPenney Live with the Backstreet Boys. Did you dress the Backstreet Boys? Oh, look at your face.
No, they had their own stylist.
Oh.
But she needed belts and I went and bought them.
Yes. So you belted the Backstreet Boys.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I did. And that was very exciting for me. And I took a picture with Brian, which I never take pictures with anybody because I think it's super crazy to ask. But this just happened organically. And I am so glad that it did, because Brian was like literally my crush.
Brian was the one. Yeah.
So, yes.
Quit playing games with my heart, Erin.
Yeah. Incredible. I mean, there's not that many people. I see a lot of people all the time, but there's like no one. The only other person that I have not met that I would be like overwhelmed with joy would be Britney Spears. That would be like it.
Yeah. That would
but
be wild.
I work with a lot of cool people and I'm just like, okay, as long as you, you know, wear the clothes, we're cool, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's a big part of your job, right? You have to keep your cool and you're always on different sets and
totally. And it's just, and honestly, they're just like us. I know that that's such a cliche thing to say, but
yeah,
you just want to hang out too, you know?
I loved finding out that you worked on Never Have I Ever, because I just started watching that show and I think it is fantastic. I love it.
So that was such a cool thing. So I got into the Costume Designers Guild in 2020 and because that's like the next step, you know, I want to design, you know, I'm trying to win an Oscar over here. So, you know, I'm going, but, I was the assistant costume designer for season 4 and that was just incredible. I loved working on it. I loved everyone. And I think it was a good first show to assistant design for, because it was already established and I was friends with people on it, you know, so it made work just wonderful. And also all of the cast is just so sweet. I couldn't say enough good things about them.
That's great.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah. I just started watching it recently because my buddy and I, he's a writer for TV and I'm trying to dip my toes in there as well. And so every week we do something called Inside the Cockpit, where we study a pilot, sometimes two pilots, and then we get on TikTok and we discuss it and kind of like break it down and what worked for us and what didn't. And we paired up Never Have I Ever with Abbott Elementary 1 week, and both like female run shows and writers, and just, it was so fun to compare them. And I just loved every second of that script. I thought it was the pilot script for it. It's so funny. Like, who has John McEnroe like doing voiceover for this 15-year-old girl who has, like, it's just, it was so good. It was so good.
It's so cute. I just loved it. And I love that you loved it and are talking about it. Like, it's just so cool. I think that that show will go on and I think it'll get many more views throughout the years.
I think so too. And I'm always so impressed with what Mindy Kaling is doing. Like, what a boss. She's doing it. So cool.
She's incredible. I can vouch for that.
That is nice to hear. So what should we be watching? What have you worked on that you want to see more support around? How can we support you in your efforts to win the Costume Design Oscar Awards?
I think everyone should go on Tubi and watch Final Heist.
Yeah.
Costume Design by me. I loved everything I did. Watch out for the pink tracksuit, because I touched on that a little.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
And the collars. Remember, I mentioned that. So see if you see the collars.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Where can people find you?
I'm on Instagram, Erin Wrinkle Siegel. Yes, Wrinkle is literally my maiden
name.
It's
amazing.
It makes sense that I did this. It was this or the dry cleaner.
I wasn't going to mention the wrinkle because I'm like, listen, I bet this is the joke and she's a costume designer, but she doesn't put wrinkles in. I was like, I can't say the same thing everyone else says, but I'm relieved you brought it up. I am.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I couldn't go this whole time without saying it. Wrinkle, just like a wrinkle in your shirt. And then Siegel. And that's also my website, too, if you want to see what I'm doing. And that's a good incentive for me to update it.
There you go.
So yeah.
Well, thank you. This has been so fun. I learned a ton. I didn't mention this before that, like, in the theater, one of my favorite parts of the process, and this is whether I'm the playwright or when I was the actor, is when the designers come in. Because you're here, you're working on your lines and you're working on your motivations and you're on stage and your body and all this stuff. And then you realize, you know what's happening, but you're not conscious of it, that all these beautiful, amazing people, the costume designer, the lighting designer, the sound designer, they've all been off doing their work. And then they come in and it's like this presentation where they're like, here's what the set's going to be. Here's what the costumes are going to be. And everyone's just like, oh, it all starts to feel real when you guys all come in and do your job. And I feel like that's when the ensemble and like the magic of the piece starts to happen, when all those pieces come together. And I'm always just floored by what you guys do. The way you take in the script and everything, and then you just add this beauty to it, and then it all comes together. It's magic. I love it every time.
Aw, well, thank you.
Big thanks to Erin for being with us today. Here are some of my takeaways from her episode. 1, sometimes you just need to be ballsy. Erin showed up to film sets and offered her help. Was she turned away? Most times, yeah, but other times she found a way to contribute and build relationships to help her move forward. 2, so much of life is on-the-job training. When Erin had a new job and had little experience, rather than worrying or doubting herself, she said to her new boss, "I know how others like things done, but how do you like them done?" She was rewarded with a rundown direct from the boss on how to be successful. 3, every creative opportunity holds the possibility of the next one. The skills you learn on a commercial set can absolutely inform the work you do on a big film set. The PA on your project today could be your director on the next project tomorrow. Doing the best work possible and being kind to everyone you meet will never steer you wrong. Thanks for tuning in to My Job is to Play, Conversations on Creativity with Erin Mallon. This podcast is produced by Oh Yes She Did Productions, with line editing and mastering by Tyler Whitlatch of Plunk Productions. As always, we'll see you next week with another interview with an incredible guest. Tune in to My Job is to Play every Friday morning for a new episode to get your weekend started right.